Thanks for the introduction. Good afternoon. Welcome to my presentation. In this talk, I will present a new TCP-based non-cooperative measurement method. This is a joint work with my colleague Edmund Chen and Professor Rocky Zhang. Our work was motivated by the following questions. People may want to measure the path between themselves and remote hosts. It's convenient to carry out the active measurement. However, active measurement is not scalable because a special software has to be installed in remote hosts. Non-cooperative measurement method can overcome this limitation. However, there are still several issues need to be considered when selecting a non-cooperative method. Firstly, how to avoid biased measurement samples. Recent study has shown that measurement results obtained by ICMP packets may be biased. People may think that the router may delay the processing of ICMP packets. However, we observe that sometimes ICMP packets may suffer less delay than TCP data packets. A rumor about this is that normal users usually just use ping or trace out to test delay. Therefore, these tools may give better performance. However, when using normal data packet, for example, TCP data packet, you can suffer higher delay. TCP control packet has its own limitation. For example, it's small and fixed packet size and some security consideration. I will discuss it later. Another important problem is how to decrease the measurement overhead because active measurement is intrusive comparing with passive measurement. A possible approach is to send less probing packets but extract more information from the response packets. A related question is how to measure multiple metrics from a limited number of response packets. Our answer is OneProbe. It is a new TCP-based non-cooperative end-to-end measurement tool that can measure several metrics simultaneously by sending a pair of probing packets. I will introduce OneProbe's design and our implementation HTTP over OneProbe. After that, I will introduce our evaluation result and some internet measurement result. And I will also introduce closely related work. And finally, I will conclude the talk and point out some future work. There are five design principles behind OneProbe. Firstly, the tool should measure data path quality. Due to some security considerations, firewall may limit the number of TCP control packets, that is TCP sync, TCP fink, TCP RSD, and so on. Another issue with TCP control packet is that TCP control packet size is usually very small and fixed. Therefore, we use TCP data packet in persistent connections for measurement. Secondly, the tool should measure metrics as many as possible. OneProbe can measure several metrics simultaneously. Therefore, the user can not only lower the measurement overhead, but also get a chance to study the interaction between metrics. Currently, OneProbe can measure lost RTT and packet reordering. We are adding more metrics into OneProbe. Thirdly, due to path asymmetry, it is designed to separate the measurement result on forward paths and reverse paths. Forward paths means the path from the measurement node to the remote server. Fourthly, the tool should be extensible. For example, the tool should support different sampling processes and should support adding new metrics. Finally, the tool should have good compatibility. Here, compatibility means that most existing operating systems should support the tool without any modification. OneProbe only exploits basic mechanisms in TCP, for example, sequence number, acknowledgement number, advertising window, MSS, and flags. Using only these mechanisms allows existing operating systems to support OneProbe. In this slide, I will introduce the general probing process of OneProbe. How to measure specific metric will be introduced in the following slides. Here we use CMM or SMM to indicate a probe or response packet with sequence number M and acknowledgement N. At the beginning of the measurement, OneProbe will send one or two packets to induce two new data packets from the server, that's S1 and S2. After receiving these two packets, WinPo can start the measurement immediately or wait for a period depending on the sampling process. The two probing packets are S3 prime and S4 prime. It's worth noting that S3 prime only acknowledges the receipt of the first data packet, S1, although S1 and S2 have been received. Moreover, the advertising window in S3 pi and S4 pi is 2 MSS to limit the number of packets from the server. On the arrival of the first probing packet, the server will only send back one data packet, S3 3 pi. Similarly, on the arrival of the second probing packet, the server will send out another data packet, S4 4 pi. To measure the RTT, WinPo compute the time between sending a probe packet, for example, the C3Pi1, and receiving its induced new data packet, that is the S3Pi. We do not use the interval between the second probing packet and the second response packet, because that interval may be affected by the first probing packet and the first response packet. Since probing packet may be lost or reordered on the forward pass, we identify 5 possible events on the forward pass. F0 indicates the 2 probing packets arrive at the server in order. FR indicate the events that the 2 probing packets are reordered. F1 and F2 indicate that the first or the second probing packet is lost. F3 means that 2 probing packets are lost on the forward pass. Similarly, we can identify 5 similar events on the reverse pass. By enumerating all these events, we finally identify 18 possible loss and reordering events, as shown in this table. Events denoted by hyphen are impossible. We use the sequence number, acknowledgement number in the response packet and retransmit packet to distinguish these events. This table shows the parameters used by WinPo to distinguish these events. Details can be found in our paper. Here, I just give an example. In this example, the 2 probing packets are reordered on the forward pass. On the arrival of the second probing packet that arrived first, the server will send back 2 data packets, S3 2 pi and S4 2 pi. On the arrival of the first probing packet, the server will send back a pure acknowledgement packet. If WinPo does not send back any data, any packet, the server may retransmit the first packet, S3. Since the server has received both probing packets, the acknowledgement number in this retransmit packet will be changed from 2 pi to 4 pi. Savvy audience may notice that there are some ambiguous events in the 18 events. For example, as shown in this 2 figure. In the left figure, the 2 probing packets arrive at the server in order, but 2 response packets are lost. The server will retransmit the first packet, S3. As shown in the right figure, the 2 probing packets are reordered on the forward pass, but 2 response packets are also lost, and the server will retransmit the same packet. To differentiate these 2 scenarios, we propose 3 solutions. Firstly, we can use the filling a hole FAH ACK triggered by the first probing packet. Or we can use the out-of-order packet OOP ACK introduced by the second probing packet. Comparing with the first approach, the second approach is not so reliable because some operating system will not send back this ACK packet or just PG back with the data packet. If the operating system supports TCP timestamp, then it's easy to differentiate these 2 scenarios. The retransmit packet's timestamp will be equal to the timestamp of C4 pi in the first case, and the value will be equal to the timestamp of the first probing packet in the second scenario. By exploiting TCP's feature, WinPo is independent of upper layer applications. Due to the prevalence of web server, we implement HTTP over WinPro. by using HTTP protocol to fetch data from web server for measurement. HTTP over WinPo is a user level 2 on Linux 2.6. It has around 8,000 lines of C code. It uses raw socket to send packet and TCP lab to capture packets. As shown in this figure, there are two major components in HTTP over WinPo. One is the HTTP helper that deal with the HTTP related activities. The other is WinPo that deal with the TCP related activities. Before the measurement, HTTP helper will first find qualify URLs. Here, a qualified object means that the object is large enough to be put into at least 5 response packets. For example, if the MSS is 1K, then the object should be larger than 5K. In nowadays internet, it's easy to find such kind of objects. Since some web server will compress the object before delivering it to a web client, we set proper HTTP header as shown in this slide to avoid mass decompression. If the web server supports range, we may turn an unqualified object into a qualified one by requesting the same object multiple times in a range field. After finding qualified URLs, HTTP helper will prepare HTTP GET request. Since sometimes a URL is not long enough to make a large probing packet, we expand the packet size through the referral field. We add the URL of the object into this field, and we'll also add a customized string that contains probe ID and the contact email address. WinPo measurement sessions. Each session involves several TCP connections to achieve different sampling patterns and sampling rate. A probe schedule is computed based on user's input, and the schedule consists of a list of probe tasks. Given a task, WinPo will select a free TCP connection from the connection pool to send it. The WinPo's procedure consists of two phases. One is the preparation phase, the other is the probing phase. In the first phase, WinPo will negotiate with the remote server about the packet size through the MSS option in TCP sync packet. And WinPo will also help the server to increase its congestion window by sending back expected ACK packet. WinPo also has the function of cell diagonalysis. For example, you will use LippyCap to capture outgoing packet to determine whether the probing packet have been sent or not. It also checks the packet loss statistic provided by LippyCap to see whether there are packet loss due to insufficient buffer space. This figure illustrates the procedure in WinPro. The left part shows the preparation phase, and the right part shows the probing phase. During the probing phase, WinPo will get a probe task from the schedule. After sending the probe and receiving the response packet, you will analyze it and then prepare for the next task. You will terminate the connection if the session ends or you encounter some exceptions. We evaluate WinPo from three aspects. First, we validate whether existing operating systems respond to WinPro's probe correctly. We design 4 validation tests that simulate the events on the forward pass. And we have tested on 39 operating systems and more than 35 web servers, as shown in this table. Since we do not have all this software, we test what we have in our testbed, and others were tested in the internet. Internet hosts were identified through Netcraft's database. We also test more than 37,000 websites randomly selected. Among these websites, 93 websites passed all the validation tests. Around 1% websites fail in the preparation phase. This host will send back packets with unexpected packet size. Around 0.26% hosts failed in the test of V0. And this host will not send back data packets until they receive both probing packets. Around 6% hosts fail in the test of VR. We can roughly classify these hosts into three groups. In the first group, those hosts appear to have received all the intact probing packets. As far as we know, some firewall will rearrange out-of-order packets before delivering them to a host. In the second group, the host will drop the second probing packet that arrived first. Such behavior is similar to the problem of fail to retain above sequence data mentioned in RFC 2525. In the third group, the host just dropped two probing packets, but accept the acknowledgement number in the probing packet. In other words, they will send back new data packets without acknowledging the receipt of probing packet. We also evaluate WEMPO in our testbed. In the testbed consists of an Apache server, a client running HTTP WEMPO, and a client running search to emulate background traffic. All these clients are connected to a CRID router. We emulate a light low using 20 search users and emulate a high low using 260 search users. According to our experiment result, we found that by avoiding the startup latency, the HTTP over WEMPO's RTT measurement is much less susceptible to server load and object size. Moreover, the HTTP over WEMPO's CPU and memory consumption in both the probe sender and web server is very low. When investigating the server-induced latency, we compare HTTP over WEMPO with HTTP ping, that is a commonly used HTTP-based ping tool. In our experiment, HTTP over WEMPO used 30 TCP connections with sampling rate 20 Hz. The size of probe and response packet is 240 bytes. HTTP ping used the default method, that is the head request, and the default sampling rate, that's 1 Hz. Its packet size depends on the URL and the corresponding response packets. This figure illustrates the CDF of server-induced latency for HTTP over WEMPO, HTTP over WEMPO's initial GET and HTTP ping. We can see that significant delay was introduced to HTTP WEMPO's initial GET and HTTP ping. The reason is that when processing this request, the server needs to invoke some expensive system call such as read stat. HTTP over WEMPO avoids such substantial delay because it does not use the initial GET for RTT measurement. It's worth noting that after processing HTTP WEMPO's initial GET, the server will send back a little data packet and put remaining data packets into its HTTP buffer. Then, when a probing packet arrives at the server, can send out these data packets immediately. We also evaluate the effect of object size on the server-induced latency. These two figures illustrate the server-induced latency under light load and heavy load. We can see that around 80% samples were less than 30 microseconds. The value is very small. Under the heavy server load, the delay is higher for small objects because the server will load the object from the file system many times. Under light server load, the difference is not so significant. We also evaluate the system resource consumption. In this experiment, WEMPO fetched a large object for 240 seconds with different number of TCP connections and sampling rates. The size of the probe and response packets is 1,500 bytes. We can see that even when using 100 TCP connections with sampling rate 150, the average CPU utilization is very low. We also evaluate the average memory utilization in probe sender and web server, and the value is also quite low for all scenarios. In the following slides, I will present some internet measurement results. we select a set of web servers hosting last year Olympic Games as remote server. The client was located in a data center in Hong Kong. OnePro conducts periodic sampling with sampling rate 2 Hz for 1 minute and then become idle for 4 minutes in order to be less intrusive. Such sampling pattern repeats for only 1 month. In this figure, demonstrate some result on a path from Hong Kong to a host in Beijing province network. In this path, there are 5 hops in Hong Kong, 2 hops in Teleglobe's Asia Pacific network, and 2 hops in CNC backbone, and another 4 hops in Beijing province network. In this figure, the x-axis is the time. The left y-axis is the RTT. The right axis is the round-trip loss rate. From this figure, we can observe clear diurnal RTT and round-trip loss patterns. We can also observe positive correlation between RTT and loss rates. That is, the peak loss rate coincides with the high RTT period. We can also observe more loss and longer higher RTT period on weekends. We did observe discrepancy between ping and WormPro's RTT measurement. This result was obtained on another path from Hong Kong, go through 2 hops in Korea, 4 hops in CNC backbone to a host in Henan province network. From this figure, we can see that the RTT consistently differ by around 100 milliseconds during the peaks for the first 4 days. But they were similar in the valleys. Their RTT converged at August 12th due to an event, a routing event, but unseen to the trace route. This result shows that non-data packets may not reflect the past quality experienced by data packets. Even after the converge point, there are still some discrepancy between their measurement results. Finally, I would like to introduce some close related work. STING is the seminal work on TCP-based non-cooperative measurement. It can measure loss on both forward paths and reverse paths. However, in nowadays, the internet is not reliable due to its anomalous probe traffic. You will send a burst of out-of-order TCP probes with zero advertised window. And you also lack of support for variable response packet size. Tulip is a hop-by-hop measurement tool based on ICMP. You can locate packet loss and packet reordering events. And you can also measure queuing delays. However, it requires router or host to support a consecutive IP ID. TCP sidecar injects measurement probes in a non-measurement TCP connection. It's a smart idea, but it cannot measure all loss scenarios, and it cannot control the sampling pattern and sampling rate. We proposed Pointer several years ago to measure packet reordering on both forward paths and reverse paths. However, Pointer is also not so reliable because it exploits unexpected sequence number acknowledgement number for measurement. In this paper, we propose a new TCP-based non-cooperative method for reliable and matching risk network path monitoring. We implement HTTP over WormPro and conduct extensive experiments in both testbed and internet. More information and experiment results could be found in our paper and this website. Currently, we are adding new path metrics, for example, capacity available bandwidth into WormPro. We are also deploying server-side WormPro for opportunistic measurement. And we are planning to implement WormPro into other TCP-based applications, for example, P2P and video. And this work is partially supported by a grant from ITF from Hong Kong. Thanks.
I just got a question. If you're using the TCP to do the RTT test, how do you make sure the RTT is accurate, or one way, or in the forward path, or in the reverse path?
For RTT measurement, we only can see the round trip RTT. You mean, RTT is the round trip time. We do not measure the one-way delay. Your question on the validation, we conduct validation, for example, in our test bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't compare with the one-way ping something
using the UDP? Yeah, we compare with ping, for
the
example.
The one-way ping using the UDP stuff, the UDP, because your ping is ICMP, right?
Right. Okay. We didn't compare with a UDP base.
One-way ping.
We didn't. I think UDP probing packet may give a similar result. I mean for one-way delay. But since UDP may trigger an ICMP packet, so the one-way delay on the reverse path may not be the same as the delay experienced by the UDP or TCP packets.
But because here, you even using the TCP, because the one-way ping using the ping is just go through the IP layer or lower. Mm-hmm. But if you go to TCP go to the processing, so it can easily go to beyond the 100 milliseconds difference, go to the process scheduling stuff involved.
We can discuss
this later. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So I had a question about what the requirements of one probe are in terms of the application that you integrate it with. So for instance, you've currently built one probe using HTTP with persistent connections, and you talked you mentioned that you want to, in future work, integrate it with other TCP-based applications. Can you describe sort of what the requirements are? Can it work with any application that uses TCP, or are there a specific set of requirements that you need in order for OneProbe to work?
That's a good question. Currently, OneProbe needs the server to send back some data packets. So this is the first requirement. The second requirement is that the client can send some data packets to the server. And the server can acknowledge it, for example, TCP layer acknowledgement. This is the only requirement. So it can be easily implemented into other TCP-based applications.
So for instance, do you think it would be likely to work well with BitTorrent?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You're welcome.